morning, everyone. I would encourage you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. As Tony mentioned in his opening announcements, we have been reading the book of Colossians together within the context of our 2020 theme of life in Christ. And before we turn our attention to 1st and 2nd Peter and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, I thought that we might consider a lesson from Colossians this morning. I'll be using some scriptures that are not found in the book, but I would encourage you to turn to Colossians and to read the verses from Colossians that we'll consider together in the context of a lesson that we are going to title Complete in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2 and in verses 9 and 10, we read these words, For in him, in Christ Jesus, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In chapter 2 and in verse 6, I believe we find a very important phrase that speaks to the relationship that God longs for everyone to have with his only begotten. The business of receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As we think about Colossians chapter 2 verse 10, and as we think about verse 6, those who have received Christ Jesus have been made full. Received in Colossians 2 verse 6 carries with it the idea of receiving near, associating with oneself, joining oneself to Jesus. In John's gospel, he introduces Jesus as the eternal word who becomes flesh and dwells among us. And he speaks of the idea of receiving in John chapter 1 verse 11. Some did not receive Jesus. Jesus himself would say in John's gospel in chapter 14 verse 3 that he is coming again. And in his second coming, Jesus is coming to receive, John 14 verse 3, Jesus is coming to receive those who have received him. Complete carries with it the idea of filling, of being made full. Whatever was lacking, whatever is lacking in your life, Jesus is the answer. You can be made full to overflowing in him, in his person, and in his word. As you think about the language of Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 this morning with me, I want to encourage you to think about the fact that Colossians 2 verse 10 puts every other blessing that we have from above in perspective. We have been made complete in him. We are full in him. And so this morning, I want to give you a list. I want to give you a perfect list. I want to give you a complete list. As the Lord wills, as we continue to think about life in Christ in the middle of November through the end of December, we will think about the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, we will see that the number 7 is a number that is used by God himself to communicate perfection, to communicate completeness. And so as we think about what lies behind and as we think about what we are doing in the present tense, in the context of our theme, and as we look forward to the book of Revelation this morning, I present to you a list, a perfect list, a complete list that speaks to the fullness that is ours because we have received Christ Jesus. When you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, number one, you also receive the Father. Look at the language of Colossians 1 verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. This was true of the Christians in Colossae. It was true of the Christians in Laodicea. It is true of the Christians in Annandale. Grace to you and peace, watch this, from God our Father Verse 12, because of the relationship that we have in Christ with the Father, we give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Our Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Chapter 3, verse 17. Now that we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, whatever we do in word or deed, we are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Those who have received Christ Jesus, Colossians 2:6, have been adopted into the family of God. We are now His children, and He is our Father in heaven. The Creator becomes our Father because of our relationship to Christ. He is the Beloved, and we have been accepted in the Beloved. To be complete in Christ is not only to receive the Father, but it is also to receive the Holy Spirit. In Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 8, the Colossians were commended because it had been declared to Paul and had been declared to Timothy, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that they had love in the Spirit. Those who have received Christ Jesus have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit has been sent into their hearts by the Father and by the Son because of the redemption they have received through Christ. Colossians 1 verse 8. Now that the Spirit indwells us, He is working from the inside out to produce His fruit. The first facet of His fruit, as revealed in Galatians 5:22, is the fruit of love. Colossians 1:8. The love that they had in the Spirit had been declared. It had been made known. It had been revealed. The Spirit of God marks us as belonging to God and works in our lives in the present tense because of our relationship to Christ Jesus. Amen. To be complete in Christ is to receive the Father. To be complete in Christ is to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive Christ Jesus. To be complete in Him is to receive the Word of God. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The word of God is truth. John 17 verse 17. The word of the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ, His person and His work. Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ, the word became flesh and He dwelt among us as Jesus of Nazareth. And when Jesus left the carpentry shop at 30 years of age, Luke 3:23, as was supposed, because this word who became flesh is eternal. He had an earthly beginning. He began His earthly life in the womb of Mary. He was born of a virgin. He was sent forth to grow up into all things as the head, as the only begotten God, the only begotten Son of God. And at 30 years of age, He began to preach the good news concerning the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What a glorious opportunity we've had to do that just this morning together, and to be introduced to a new song for the first time. Brother Ben is to be commended for using his gifts to glorify God and to encourage us. That is a beautiful song that perfectly encapsulates what I hope to encourage us in this morning from the book of Colossians. The word of Christ dwelling in us richly as those who have received Him. We teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And all of this has been revealed to us through the mouth of Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Colossians 4 verse 3. Meanwhile, we pray that God would open doors of opportunity for us to speak, watch this, for us to speak the mystery of Christ, the word that God would have us to share with others that is of first importance. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 concerns the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The person and the work of Jesus Christ is to be of first importance. That is the door that we are praying that would be open to us, that we might share the mystery of Christ, that we might preach the word so that people could know Jesus and people could know what Jesus did for them so that he might change them from the inside out, so that they might understand who he is, that they might receive him, be complete in him, and receive the Father and receive the Holy Spirit and receive the word of God. Those who have received Christ Jesus have been given the word to guide them from earth to heaven. The Father spoke through Christ, who sent the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles to write the word, that we might know God, that we might know his nature, his character, his will. Why do we put so much emphasis on the word of God in our individual walks and in our collective walk together as the Annandale Church? The word is read by those who have received Christ Jesus because of the word's relationship to Christ Jesus. This is the book that Jesus would have you to read. This is the book that Jesus would have you to meditate on. This is the book that Jesus would have you to rightly divide, to study, to give yourself entirely to these things, so that you might know God. And in knowing God, you would come to understand that there is a God, because Jesus is God and we are complete in him. And when we come to him and when we receive him, we receive the Father and we receive the Holy Spirit and we receive the word of God. And not only that, but we also receive the church. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, who is this Jesus that we are complete in, that we are made full in? He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Those who have received Christ Jesus have been added to the church, which is his body. And as an aside, because I am complete in him this morning, I have Greg and Tony, and I have James and Aaron and our other deacons. And I have brothers and sisters in Christ that I can see. One of the things that we come to appreciate from revelation, but also by observation, is that the true and living God is invisible. And that's what makes Jesus so special. If we had lived in the first century, we would have seen God. We would have seen God in the flesh. But at this present time, he is invisible to us. And our Jesus that we are complete in, he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven itself. I cannot see him, but I can see you. And it encourages me to see you this morning, because I can see Christ in you. Colossians 1 verse 27, the hope of glory. Jesus has blessed us with fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers that we are not related to by flesh and blood per se, and he spoke of this before he made it possible in Matthew the 10th chapter. And throughout his ministry, he spoke of those who were not his physical family as being his family, because he knew what he was going to do for us. And he knew that those of us who would choose him to, to choose to receive him, to join ourselves to him. He knew he was going to bless us with something special. Something that we can see in time before we receive our glorified eyes and we behold his face forever. Let us not lose sight of this great blessing that he has blessed us with. As we consider the language of the prison epistles and we consider what God has revealed to us about the church, the Father purposed before time began that his children would comprise the body of Christ on earth after Jesus ascended to the right hand. We are the body of Christ on earth today. Those who have received Christ Jesus have a relationship with all those who have received Christ Jesus because of our relationship to Christ Jesus. And not only that, but to be complete in him means that we have been blessed with angels. In Colossians 2:18, the Colossians and Laodiceans and brothers and sisters in Christ at Annandale in 2020 are called not to let anyone cheat us of our reward. And ultimately our reward, as we will see in the conclusion of the whole matter in Revelation 22:4, our reward is beholding his face. As we turn our attention to 1 Peter this week and 2 Peter, Peter stands in all of us because of our faith in him, whom having not yet seen, we love. Let no one cheat you of a reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. There's a lot of talk about angels in our day. There has been a lot of talk about angels since the beginning of time, because from the beginning they have been involved in the affairs of God and in the affairs of God and his relationship with man, with those created in his image, males and females. Those who have received Christ Jesus, Colossians 2:6, do not participate in the worship of angels. Because we understand that as awe-inspiring as angels are not deity, and only deity is to be worshiped. Angels are spiritual beings who are below deity, but who are above humanity. They have a nature and can do some things that is different from ours. They can do some things that we can't do in the form that we find ourselves in. And so there are a lot of people who have a lot to say about angels, and the more they talk, the less of what they say is true, because they are going beyond what is written. I have many more questions about angels than I have answers. But here's an answer. Hebrews 1 verse 14. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth by the Father to minister for those who will inherit salvation. I would like to know more about that, but I believe that. Angels minister to them, to those who find themselves in Hebrews 1:14. Because of their relationship to Christ, angels are sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Well, who is this Jesus? He is the Savior. When I think about our relationship to angels in light of being complete in Christ, I think about 2 Kings chapter 6 and specifically verse 17. King of Syria making war against the king of Israel of that time, and Elisha is the prophet of God that God is speaking through at this moment in time. And there's this other man of God, this servant, and he is looking at life at that moment through his physical eyes. And Elisha prays to the true and living God. And he asked that the servant's eyes might be opened so that he could see the truth of what Elisha had said to him. those who are with us are more than those who are against us. As you consider 2 Kings 6, verse 17 this morning, and as I consider it with you, let us ask the question together, what would we see if our eyes were opened? Angels minister to us because of our relationship to the Savior Christ Jesus. We are complete in Him, and because of Him and through Him, we have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1 verse 14, it's in Him, it's in Christ Jesus that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in whom. Chapter 2 verse 11, in Him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Those who have received Christ Jesus, Colossians 2:6, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Him, Ephesians 1:3. The blessings that we receive are spiritual in nature. Jesus is the sphere of each and every one of them. To be in Him is to receive the blessing of having a Father in heaven, of having an indwelling Spirit, of being given a word, the word. Being in Christ Jesus means that we are a part of Him and a part of one another. He is the head. We are the body and members individually of one another. Angels are sent forth to minister to those of us who are inheriting salvation. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing is enjoyed because of our relationship to Christ. And number 7, this morning, to perfect our list, to complete our list from the book of Colossians. We are complete in Him, and as a result of that, we're going home. This world is not our home. If 2020 has taught us anything, it ought to have taught us that. I mean, if we were struggling with that prior to March of this year, then God help us to continue to struggle with it. This world is not our home. We live in a sin-cursed world. It is full of sickness and disease and death and injustice and turmoil. Jesus died for all of this sin that He might deliver us from it. Not that we would continue to live in it. Watch the language of Colossians. Colossians 1 verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, not on earth. Our hope is not here. Don't be deceived about that. You are going to be disillusioned, and you're going to become discouraged, and you're going to lose your faith in Him. You're going to go back and you're going to read the word of Christ, and you're going to be looking for Him to say things that He didn't say. You're going to be looking for Him to do things that He didn't do. You're going to be looking for Him to emphasize things that He did not emphasize. Our hope is not here. It is in heaven. Colossians 1 verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. Be strengthened in your faith. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature. Watch this, underscore this, highlight this, hide this in your heart so that you might not ever, never, ever forget it. This is where we are. We are under heaven. We are not in heaven. God has something better for us. He has His dwelling place where He dwells in unapproachable light, and He's going to make it possible for us to approach Him through Jesus. as he completes our salvation in his final act, the glorification of our bodies, so that we might behold him with glorified eyes and dwell in his presence with a body that is fit for that dwelling place. We are present tense under heaven. Watch this. Chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. That's where we're going. We're under heaven now, but we are going to be where he is. He is going to receive us to himself, John 14, verse 3. And we are going to go home with him. And as we get into 1 Thessalonians chapters 4 and 5, over the course of the next few weeks, what we are going to be encouraged to internalize and what we are going to be encouraged to exhort one another to internalize is that once we get there, we will always be with the Lord. There won't be any, well, I gotta go now. There won't be any parting. There won't be any sorrow. There won't be any tears. There won't be any disease. There won't be any death. There won't be any temptation. Beloved, we are not there yet. And we will not get there apart from Jesus. We are complete in him. And he's in heaven. And so we groan. Because we know, because we have received him, this is not our home. It's full of sin. So our deepest and heaviest longing is to be delivered from all of it. To see him come in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who do not know God and have not obeyed his gospel. And those are many. And I do not rejoice that they are going to get what's coming to them. I pray for doors that I might share Jesus with them so that they too can be spared the wrath to come. The only way you're going to help somebody to be spared the wrath to come is to introduce them to the Lamb who is bringing his wrath. The wrath of the Lamb will come, but it is not coming for those who have received Jesus. We've not been appointed to wrath, but to salvation. That's the hope that we have in him. Redemption, the forgiveness of sins, has been found in Christ by those who have received him. A home in heaven is a reality for those who have a relationship with Christ. Hear the conclusion this morning. Jesus is all we need. Not to the exclusion of the Father or the Holy Spirit or the Word or the Church or angels or spiritual blessings in the heavenly places or even heaven itself. We are complete in Jesus because to be filled with him, to be full of him to overflowing means that we have this great, perfect, complete list to go along with him. Apart from him, you will not have a Father in heaven. Apart from him, you will not receive an indwelling Spirit. Apart from him, you just have a book. This book is more than a book. It's the living Word of God. But for many, it's just a book. If you don't have Jesus, you've not been added to his church, and you have no hope of your eyes one day being open and you seeing that those who were with us were more than those who were against us. You don't have any of the spiritual blessings if you don't have Jesus, because they're all in him, and you do not have the hope of heaven. You are without God and alone in the world if you're not in Christ Jesus. And that is not where you want to be. That is not where you want to be in 2020. You do not want to be alone without God in this world, in this present time, right here, right now. I don't care if you're in the United States of America or Canada or Mexico or Europe or Timbuktu. The world is a dangerous place right now. It always has been, but it is front and center in all of our faces right now. You need Jesus. Jesus wants you to receive him. He extends his invitation even this morning. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Are you not weary? Are you not burdened by this life? Do you not long to be delivered from all of this? What is the problem in the world in which we live? It is sin. What is the solution to sin? Jesus. You need Jesus. We are complete in Him. Once you have received Christ Jesus, you also receive the Father. You receive the Holy Spirit. You receive the Word, the church. You receive angels. You receive every spiritual blessing and the hope of heaven. Whatever is lacking in your life this morning, with full assurance of faith, unashamedly, I say to you this morning, Jesus is the answer. Amen. Receive Him and be complete. As we turn our attention now to celebrating Jesus's person and His work in the partaking of the Lord's Supper, we will sing a song that speaks of His grace, and His grace is what makes all of this possible. For you have been saved by grace. It's not of yourselves, lest you should boast. God took the initiative to save us, and He has spoken in His word, and He has said, okay, this is what you did, and this is the consequence of it, but this is who I am. And this is how much I love you. I have provided a way for you to be forgiven of all that. And His name is Jesus. Will you come to Him? Will you receive Him? Will you believe in Him in full assurance of faith? And will you confess Him? And as you think about your conscience and how guilt-ridden it is because of your sin, will you repent of that? Will you turn from it and turn to Him? And will you be baptized into Him? Will you receive a sign of the covenant? Not a physical sign like physical circumcision. But will you receive the sign of the covenant that is spiritual in nature? Will you be baptized into Christ, where God will work and He'll make you alive? As you die with Christ, He'll make you alive and He'll raise you up to walk in newness of life. That is the grace that has reached me and has reached every other brother and sister in Christ that obeyed the gospel in Colossae or Laodicea or Annandale or wherever you might have obeyed. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, you can obey right here, right now. And you can be added to the church by the Lord Himself. And you can leave this place not lacking, but being full, complete in Him.